Please turn with me tonight to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1. Matthew, chapter 1. And I read verse 1. Matthew, chapter 1, verse 1. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. My title tonight is The Chronicles of Grace, or if you prefer, The Genealogy of Grace. You are perfectly right. It's not Christmas, because this text, the genealogy, often is mentioned only on that occasion. But there is more into it, the genealogy of grace. And please, I'm sure many of us will never read just names, names after names. What is in a name? But I want to draw your attention tonight. This is not just a dry catalog of names. God forbid. Nothing is in the Word of God just by chance. It is there for a purpose. And actually, this is what, this part of the Bible is what whet my appetite to come to the Lord with my conversion verse in Matthew 11, verse 28. But it started here with the names, because in some cultures, names are very important. You must know who are your ancestors. You must know who are your parents and grandparents and so on. So, the names here, each name speaks volumes. Each one, you could write a biography, a whole book on each name mentioned in this genealogy. Matthew gives us 45 names, but there is a second genealogy mentioned in Luke chapter 3, and there you find 74 names, just names. But they are here for a purpose. Now, the 45 names here in the Gospel of Matthew are descending. He's taking us from Abraham down until Joseph, until the Lord Jesus Christ, until Mary, and so on. But in the Gospel of Luke, descending, not ascending, but descending. Descending to whom? To Adam. So if Matthew takes us to Abraham, Abraham is the father of the nation of Israel. But Adam, this is the father of all the human race. So you can see already the beauty of why there is that parallel. And by the way, these are the only two genealogies you find in the whole New Testament. Nothing else. And they are very practical. I will do my best. I will be simple and straightforward and concise, God willing, to present to you why this is here. It is all for us to see the grace of God and to see that there is a way to be forgiven. But, my dear friends, the genealogy given to us in verse 1 here alludes or resembles another genealogy given to us in the Old Testament, but with a contrast, because the first words here are exactly the same. When you go back to Genesis chapter 5, verse 1, you find something. It doesn't come out in English, but actually this is how it goes in the Greek text. This is Genesis chapter 5, verse 1. This is the Genesis, the genealogy. So the same in Matthew 1, verse 1 here, the book of the Genesis. So any person, any Jew of the Lord's time, of New Testament time, who has read or who will read this genealogy will say, oh, this is related to Genesis chapter 5. With a contrast. Why? Because in Genesis chapter 5, actually, there are only two books in the world. Oh, yeah. Of course, you will tell me there are millions of books in the world. But spiritually, there are only two books, two genealogies, two Genesis, two beginnings. What do I mean? There is the book of Adam, Genesis chapter 5, and there is here the book, the Genesis of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where you have to trace your spiritual genealogy. What is the contrast? In Adam, we die. That's the chorus, if you want, the repetitive chorus you find in the book of Genesis chapter 5. And he died, and he died, and he died. 6-7 times there. But guess what? When you come to Matthew chapter 5, I'm sure you know the chorus there. And he begot, he begot, he begot. So in Genesis chapter 5, the book there, if you are in Adam, it's death. You are dead in your trespasses, you are dead in your sins. But guess what? When you come to the New Testament, in Matthew chapter 1, oh, the Lord Jesus Christ, he gives you life. He gives you eternal life. But it is interesting, you can read the chapter again, the whole chapter, you will never find death mentioned here. Why? All the people are dead, but no death is mentioned. Why? Because in Christ only, there is life. If you come to him tonight, as I was saying this morning, I will not tell you you will be prosper or you will have success. But I can guarantee to you, if you repent and look unto the sacrifice accomplished and fulfilled by the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary, you will be forgiven. Your sins will be washed away. And you know, you will be light. Not lighter, but you will be light in the sense that you will feel new freedom. You will feel new liberty in your life. Even in your mind, in your heart, the guilt will be removed. You know, many people are unhappy because of the weight of the guilt of their sins upon them. But why should you carry such a heavy weight while there is someone who can carry it away, take it away, remove it away from you, and you can be set free? John chapter 8, verse 36 says, if the Son of God sets you free, free you are indeed. There is no liberty. People think, and especially if I may speak to the younger ones, sometimes they think, oh, religion will make me unhappy. I see in so many churches people with gloomy faces, long faces, and so on. They are unhappy there. No, religion is to set you free. And the greatest happiness is to leave this place tonight. All your sins are forgiven. That's the greatest joy. And I can tell you, more than 30 years walking with the Lord Jesus Christ, I was in prison before. I was slave to my own sins and to myself, to my ideology and my ambition and my way of thinking about life. But Christ can set everyone free as we come to him in true repentance. So we can receive life, not in the book of Adam, but in the book of the Lord Jesus Christ. Please, my dear brothers and sisters, this is not a cock and bull story. Legends, fictions, stories, man-made stories have never changed a life. You can watch or read every fiction possible in this world. They will never change your life. It's impossible. Fiction has never saved a soul. But this is about life. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. And please, do you see? You can read again the whole chapter. There is no creed. There is no ritual. There is no ceremonial. No bells, no incense, no smells, nothing as such. Straightforward. Life. Come to life. And you shall receive life. And I wish I could dwell on it, but there is one just last element I would like to mention to you. Please, from the beginning to the end and to the center, I have underlined it in my Bible here, you will see Christ is the beginning, he is the center, he is the climax, and he is the end in the chapter. It starts in verse 1, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ. Then look at verse 16. Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who was called Christ. Verse 17, and when people was carried away into Babylon unto Christ, and so on. You can do the rest for yourself. Till the end, in verse 25, the last word there is whom? Abraham, David? No, Jesus. So he is the life giver from the beginning to the end. And in verse 18, you can see this is the child made of the Holy Spirit. Who is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is God. In verse 20, conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Again and again. Verse 21, the name Jesus. Verse 23, she shall bring forth a son, Jesus Christ again. Again and again. So this passage is pregnant with the person and the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And no one else is to be mentioned, really. My dear brothers and sisters, the people we are going to mention tonight, they are who they are, not because of themselves, but because of the Lord Jesus Christ. And actually, in our world, even today, you are what you are because of your parents, in most cases, if you are going to be a knight or a noble or whatever you are supposed to be, they trace it to your parents. But guess what? Every person mentioned here didn't add to the grandeur of the Lord Jesus Christ. It didn't add to the reputation of the Lord Jesus Christ. It didn't add to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Actually, these people are important because of the Lord Jesus Christ. So without him, we shouldn't even spend time mentioning them. But now, we are facing a motley crowd of names, many names, not just of saints, but sinners. But guess what? Sinners saved by grace alone. Christ is happy. He is not embarrassed to be surrounded by sinners. He is happy to be surrounded by sinners. My dear friends, you know what is happening in this chapter? What the prophets of the Old Testament have said for hundreds and hundreds of years, with hundreds and hundreds of prophecies, now is taking place. God is faithful. What he said will happen. What he said will happen. But look at verse 1 again, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ. Please allow me to mention some names here. The name Jesus, very simple. It's the same name as Joshua. Jehoshua, it means God saves, to simplify it. And the name Christ means the anointed one, the chosen one, the special one, the only one. My dear brothers and sisters, if animals' blood could save us, there are millions of animals in the world. We could be saved. But you know what the Bible says? For God so loved the world that he gave what? Animals? I want to focus and emphasize his the only one of that type, the only one of that kind, the only one of that species. No one else is able to die on the cross of Calvary. You and me, we will be crushed under our own sins. But guess what? The Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary for millions. I could exaggerate by saying billions. Oh, billions of people, not for every single person in the world, because many of the people in this world have rejected them. So when people are saying, oh, does really God loves me? God loves, yes, God loves you. And he did something magnificent, majestic, sublime. He himself came, not giving us animals. He gave us his only begotten son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross of Calvary. He doesn't say, go to pilgrimage. He doesn't say, fill a river with your tears or a bucket with your tears. He doesn't say, crawl or do this or that or transport this and go there. It's just free. Repent from your sins and you shall receive the remission of your sins. This is available for children. It is available for adults. It is available for elderly. No one is beyond the reach of God's hand. So Christ is the important person in this passage. But Matthew mentions evil men, wicked men in this genealogy. Not only men, but he also mentioned women. And that was unusual. Please allow me to say something. Maybe it's a digression. The Christian faith, the genuine Christian faith, is the only religion in the world where men and women are equal in their approach to God. It is the only religion in the whole world. The people say sometimes there are three monotheistic religions, but the Christian faith is the only one where men and women can pray together in the same place, in the same time. You know what is the saying, the prayer of an Orthodox Jew in the time of Jesus? Every morning, daily, when he wakes up, he says, "Oh Lord, I thank thee that I'm not a Gentile, I thank thee that I'm not a slave, and I thank thee that I'm not a woman." That was their prayer that time. And even today, I could mention to you, Islam, women are not allowed to pray in the same place with men. They have a separated place there, no contact at all with men. Even today, if you have listened, or yesterday, or this week, if you have listened to the news, there is still a debate in modern Israel. By the way, modern Israel has nothing to do with the Israel spoken about in the Bible. The church, according to Galatians chapter 6, is the spiritual Israel of God. But the modern Israel today, they are still debating at the Wall of Lamentations if men and women could stand there and pray at the same time together. It's still on the debate today. So you see, the Christian faith is it's revolutionary. This is the greatest reformation and transformation that has ever happened in this world. It is here in the Bible. Please, can I mention to you some vicious men mentioned in this genealogy to show you again that Christ was not just humiliated at the cross of Calvary, but even in his own genealogy, he was brought into humiliation. Guess what? This is the only man who came into this world who could have chosen his mother, his father, which hospital he should be born in, which place, which country, and so on. But he accepted in that great humiliation to be surrounded by vicious, wicked, and evil men and women. Please allow me just to mention some names here. And the first one in verse 7, you see, "And Solomon begat Rehoboam." You know who is that Rehoboam? All these kings are mentioned in 1st and 2nd Kings and so on. But this was a man who was evil, for he did not set his heart to seek the Lord. He was evil, Bible says in 1 Kings. The second one, in verse 7, you have another name. "And Rehoboam begat Abia." This Abia is another idolater. This was an idolater who walked in all the sins which his father did before him. And his heart was not wholly true to the Lord and the Lord of his fathers. Now, in verse 8, look at another one. At random, I'm just mentioning at random some names there. We could have mentioned Jacob. The name Jacob means supplanter, tricker, deceiver. That's his name. Abraham, we could have mentioned. He was not a hero. God made of him a hero. But another name which I could mention in verse 8, "And Asa begat Josaphat, and Josaphat begat Joram. And that Joram is the ninth king of Judah, and he too did evil things in the eyes of the Lord. And he caused the people to prostitute themselves with foreign gods." So, these were not saints which you want to have in your genealogy. Can I mention one or two more? Ahaz in verse 9, "And Uzziah begat Joatam, and Joatam begat Ahaz." This was an evil king. You know what he did? He gave his son to be passed through fire as a sacrifice. And in that time, that was an abomination. and it deserves death penalty, whoever does that. And another one, can I give you another one? He is mentioned in verse 10. This one was even worse, evil king in verse 10. And Hezekiah begot Manasseh. You know, Manasseh ruled the nation of Israel for 55 years. And actually, many people believe that the deportation, the fact that the people were taken into slavery into Babylon, was due because of the puppet part of this Manasseh. But guess what? Manasseh later repented and he gave his life to the Lord. This is why his name is mentioned here. So every person you take there is here not because of a prowess, not because of a good work he has done. They were all filthy with their sins. They were depraved. Sin is heinous and hideous, and it deserves eternal punishment by the living God. But these names are here just by grace. So we could endlessly carry on. So instead of having this genealogy as the hall of fame, it is indeed the hall of shame. Many names here. But enough is enough of the men. What about the women? The women. I hope this will show you how much grace God has displayed and given to us, that no one should leave this place thinking that God doesn't love me. God loves you. He did something to you. And the first name, again, I could mention is given to us is the name of Tamar in verse 3. And Judas begot Phares and Zerah of Tamar. You want to know the story, the record or the account of Tamar? You go back to Genesis chapter 38. This woman was a deceiver. She disguised herself as a prostitute, and guess what? She targeted her father-in-law. Yes, we will not enter into the details, but the father-in-law was Judah, and you remember that the Messiah will come from the tribe of Judah. And who was born? Twin boys. Of course, her act was questionable, dubious character, but guess what? Tamar believed that God is going to send a savior, and she is mentioned. And the second name I want to bring before you is Rahab. This is well known by many, many people who read the Bible. In verse 5, and Solomon begot Boaz of Rahab. Rahab is known with the two spies in Jericho. This is the harlot of Jericho. And she was a Canaanite. And the Canaanites were cursed by God in the Old Testament. They should never come among the people of God. And she was named among the women of faith in the Word of God. The third one is Ruth, the Moabitess. She is from Moab, the tribe of the Moabites. And you know, the Moabites are descending from Lot. You know, you remember what happened with Lot and his daughters? They were cursed. And a Moabite should never enter among the people of God for 10 generations. Forbidden, cursed, abominable. There was an abomination upon them. But guess what again? Ruth is mentioned in the Word of God. She is here in the Word of God. And she made one of the greatest confessions in the Word of God. When you go back to the book of Ruth chapter 1, verse 16, she said, "Your God will be my God. Your people will be my people." That was her confession. She said to Naomi, who is a believer. And she said, "This God is my God. These people are my people." Then you find another person, the nameless one. She is not named, actually. We know her name is Bathsheba, but look at verse 6. And Jesse begot David the king, and David the king begot Solomon of her that had been the wife of Uriah, the Hittite. All the four women I have listed now, they are foreigners, which again should never be in a Jewish genealogy. So you can see God is welcoming foreigners, God is welcoming outsiders, God is welcoming women in his genealogy to give them salvation equally to men. 1,000 years after David killed her husband, the shameful act of David is still remembered. She is not named. That woman, Uriah's wife. Yes. Remember, she gave birth in that adultery relationship. She gave birth to a child. The child died. And later, we know she became the mother of Solomon. We could multiply. Mary, the fifth one. Oh, yes, you may say Mary is a good, polite, and nice person, and so on. But in this genealogy, you have nice and naughty people. You know what the name Mary means? Maryam, Maryama, Miriam, and so on. It means bitterness. It means rebellion. That's the meaning of the name Miriam. But some people give the name thinking it's a nice name. It's like Jacob. Yes, it's a nice name. But you know, her name, bitterness and rebellion, from our bitterness and rebellion, God is going to bring about the one who will stop our rebellion, the one who will set us free from our bitterness. But my brothers and sisters, we could learn so much from these names, and I do not wish to detain you anymore. But there are some things, some lessons we want to draw from this. And the first one is that this genealogy tells me that the Bible is trustworthy. The credibility, the authenticity, the honesty of the Bible. In Matthew's place, I will remove these names. I will delete them. Where is Sarah? Where is Leah? Where is Rachel? Where is Rebecca? The most honorable names, the most noble names, they are not listed. Ruth, Rahab, Bathsheba, Tamar. We don't want these names. But the Bible is an honest book. It says it as it happened. So you can trust the Bible, and you can trust the Bible, meaning if you come to the Lord tonight, you can trust what the Lord Jesus Christ said, it will happen. People could have deleted and replaced these names, but they kept them. The second lesson I want to draw to help you to find the Lord is that this genealogy tells me that there is a gift for new life. These people are not known for who they are, but they are known for their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But thirdly, this genealogy also tells me that Christ is the way and the means of blessing for every sinner. Abraham was supposed, in Abraham all nations will be blessed. You know that from Genesis chapter 12. But here, this genealogy tells me that through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, every sinner, you come in repentance, trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, in his precious blood, and swallowing your own pride, looking at Calvary, what happened there, you will be blessed by the Lord. You will be forgiven. But fourthly, this genealogy tells me also about our frailty. We are so weak, we are sinful, we are so small, we think we are so big, we think we are so special, but we are just sinners, dust of dust. When we die, what do we leave behind us? What will you leave behind you? You know, what can you leave behind you, and what can you take with you? Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only, your gold, your silver, your bank account, your car, your books. Nothing you can take with you. Your clothes, your wonderful, whatever, the goodies you have, they will be left here. and you go alone. But as soon as you die as a Christian, you are taken and presented in your soul before the Lord Jesus Christ. And the only thing you are waiting for is the coming back of the Lord Jesus Christ, when your body will be rejuvenated, renewed. You will become as young as you could be because of that glorified body, resurrected body. And you will be with the Lord Jesus Christ forever. Not with a place where people have laughed about God and now they have to gnash their teeth. That is what is going to happen to them. So, my dear friends, the fifth thing is that Christ is the Savior of all sinners, Jews and Gentiles, men and women, insiders and outsiders, young and old. Please, young people, don't waste your life. Don't waste your time while you are still young. God says, come, fear me. Give me your heart. Give me your heart. I will make of you a man who is worthy, who will leave something behind him, not just vanity of vanities. So come to him. Trust in him. So this genealogy tells us that Christ is not embarrassed to be surrounded by sinful sinners. And all are welcome into him. But the sixth one, this genealogy tells me, grace, grace, and grace. Where sin abounded, Romans chapter 5, grace abounded even more. So the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ covers the multitude of sins you have ever committed. It redeems us from the bruises of life. The people listed here are not sinners anymore. They are forgiven sinners. We can call them saints while they were still alive. You can become a saint tonight. Don't wait until you die. The church cannot make of you a saint. It is only God who can do it. And by trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. In God's kingdom, kings, prostitutes, peasants, educated, non-educated, all of them can sit together, washed, clean, redeemed, forgiven, adopted in the family of God with new mind, new heart, new nature, new will. You are a new person if you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. No matter how gloomy and bleak has been your life, no matter what you have said or you have not said, no matter what you have done or have not done, if you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, he's the way, he's the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father, he said, except by me. Come to him and he will give you life. He said so. Christ is the Savior of men, going back to Adam. He gives a purpose to our lives, and there is no other Savior except him. It is not anymore in which family are you born? No family, no ethnicity, no nationality. Are you born again? That's the biggest question. It doesn't matter if you are born in a noble family or a poor family or in a third world country or in so-called the West. What matters? Are you born again? Have you trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ? Christ is the beginning, the center, the climax, and the end of life. He is the completion of all things. He is eternal because he is God. He saves from sin and guilt. Where is your spiritual genealogy? What is it? How can you trace it? To where? Last year? Now? Tonight? It could start tonight. You know, Paul said, if I could boast in genealogy, I could. Read later Philippians chapter 3. He said, my genealogy, I consider it like nothing in comparison to the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in 1 Timothy chapter 1, he said, don't spend your life looking at genealogies. There are people who are proud of their earthly genealogies. In Titus chapter 3, he said, endless genealogies are unnecessary. Don't spend your time looking for that. Look for your spiritual DNA, and that spiritual DNA is when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ. You want his blood to circulate in your spiritual veins. So come to him and you shall receive life. David won many battles, but the Son of David, the Lord Jesus Christ, won the ultimate battle on the cross of Calvary. No one could have done that, only Christ, and he gave his life, not by swords, but by his own blood, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the precious blood. If you pour that blood on your life tonight in your heart, your sins will be washed away and you will be forgiven. The King of souls is here. As you repent, he brings you into his life. Thou shalt call him Jesus, for he shall save his people. Are you one of his people? You can be one tonight as you come to him. God has given us eternal life in the Lord Jesus Christ. I close by saying this. Christ died on the cross of Calvary for Rahab, for Tamar, for Bathsheba, for Abraham. Put your name there. John, Matthew, Miriam. I don't know which name. Matthew, Luke, Andrew. I could name the 12 apostles, at least their names. Christ died on that cross. Come to him. And he will give you not only a new life, he will give you eternal life, abundant life, and he will give you a new genealogy, the genealogy of grace. And your name will come out from the book of Adam, and it will be put in the book of the Lamb of God. And no man can erase your name from that book. And you will be presented before God, clean, set free, forgiven, and a child of God. Come to him. Christ paid the price. Let's close our time together by singing hymn number 400. Hymn number 400.